This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report. Post-Giannis pass, representation compensation without subsidies. National union strategists and lawyers have doubtlessly been proposing endless alternatives to blunt the impact of the long-awaited Giannis versus AFSCME verdict of the Supreme Court, eliminating the ability for unions in more than 20 states to collect servicing fees from public sector non-members for collective bargaining and other functions. The fruits of such labor are already visible in the action by state legislatures in New Jersey and California to mandate workplace access at orientations for union representatives to meet new workers and give them the opportunity to enroll new members. In a select number of states where unions continue to have density and public employees have the ear of lawmakers, we're likely to see other initiatives. Some professors have advanced the notion that public authorities directly reimburse unions for collective bargaining functions performed by non-members. Their well-intentioned argument is that there are public policy benefits achieved in preventing workplace conflict and public disruption through a functional bargaining regime that seeks compromise and agreement rather than forcing conflict. These benefits inure to the public and the workforce, both those that pay union dues to pay for this work and those workers who can now refuse to make such payments. Therefore, the public authority should offset such losses by providing resources to the union to do their jobs. There is a certain logic there, but it can't be a good idea for governments to subsidize independent unions. The notion is not unique. In France, for example, major union federations are directly subsidized by the government based on their percentage of workforce representation. Predictably, it has led to lower union dues and a decreased emphasis in enrolling workers as union members. Additionally, in a system that rewards a percentage of membership in a non-exclusive bargaining system, labor is divided as larger federations try to squeeze out smaller unions in order to block their subsidies and viability. All of this may maintain a status quo, but none of it is necessarily in the best interest of workers. On the other hand, a more practical policy and one more politically viable in the American context particularly might be the system practiced by labor courts and their adjudicators, using France as an example again. At their discretion, labor judges make awards of varying amounts to unions representing workers on disputes before the court that are found to have merit, which can range from several hundred euros to several thousand, depending on the complexity of the case and the judge's decision, much in the way lawyers are awarded fees. An independent, objective party, rather than the government itself, is subsidizing representation costs of unions on meritorious cases where the workers prevail. Grievance handling is more expensive for most unions than collective bargaining, and labor courts with such discretion would hold arbitrary public and private employers accountable while offsetting the cost of unions to provide this service with both public and workplace benefits. The EEOC and DOL in the United States operate similarly in regard to lawyers' fees. Why not union representation? Unions face a huge organizing problem now that is all our own, but in bargaining and representation, new adaptations might be practicable and win wide support in some areas in the post-Giannis world. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.